difference a day makes, huh, Ray Allen? Hi, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Ray, of course, producing and engineering, and we're celebrating the start, finally, of the summer thunderstorm season. Monsoon, which technically means Arabic term for a change in direction of wind, so we'll call it the summer rainy season officially beginning. And it was so nice, the good rain that came around 5 to 7 in the afternoon here in Tucson. And then as I was just getting to sleep after midnight, oh my goodness, big thunderstorm parked over Hacienda de Buckmaster. And so there are a lot of us here in Tucson, I'm sure, that we're not getting our usual 6 to 8 hours of sleep. But I'll take it. Trade-off is great. To have the rain. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 for your calls and comments. Let's go right now on the live line to our friend Terry Bracey from the nation's capital. Terry is our expert on Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs. He's enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to the Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner of the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano. That firm represents, among other very prestigious clients, the city of Tucson. Terry, we are very happy the rains finally came. A little bit late this year, but we got them.
Manna from heaven. You know, I've been in some of those storms. I've seen the most beautiful lightning shows.
Yep.
If you sit up in the foothills of the mountains and just watch, it's so stunning. It's just another part of Arizona's beauty.
Of course, this is the All-Star Baseball game night. You follow the Washington Nationals very closely. I think five of your Nats will be in tonight's All-Star game. And the Cubs, the Nationals, and Diamondbacks, as you know, three teams that you and I follow.
Yeah, and they're all doing well this year. The Cubs are making something of a comeback, but I think in the end they'll be there, unless Milwaukee proves to be better than everyone thought. It's the amazing Dodgers, who can't seem to lose a game these days, who ended up with, I think, 60 victories in the first half of the season, which is really amazing. But I got to brag a little bit, because my Nationals have gone to each of those ballparks and taken series from every one of those teams. So they're pretty strong. They're down with injuries now, but five of them will be watching tonight, and so we feel very fortunate here.
Terry, we are now, let's see, the first 6 months of the Trump administration in the books, as they say, and the media says very little has been accomplished. And the media has been very fixated on the president's personal demeanor. Do you see it any different?
Well, yeah, laying aside these new allegations and Donald Trump Jr. and all of that stuff, which is becoming quite seriously, I think, Bill, I frankly alternatively laugh and cringe at the president's personal behavior, and I'm constantly disappointed by his prevarication. I think it diminishes, you know, our standing as a nation, and I wish he'd stop. But it would be a real mistake to say he's not accomplishing anything, because it's pretty clear to me now that his bold conservative agenda aims to take the U.S. back to a time before FDR and the era of active government, to the fundamental small government philosophies of Harding, Coolidge, and Hoover.
So you're talking about 100 years. The world's changed a lot since then, Terry.
Well, it has, and perhaps they're not going to succeed, but they are trying. And you can find examples in every agency of the federal executive, that they're doing things bypassing Congress.
Give us a couple of examples, some of the more glaring ones that you see.
Well, sure. Let's start with the oldest departments, Treasury and State. The main focus of Secretary Mnuchin over at Treasury is to cut taxes and corporate taxes, and then, unbelievably, Bill, to do away with the protections of the Dodd-Frank laws, which grew out of the banking abuses that almost caused the Depression a decade ago. He wants pure laissez-faire, and he's going after it. At the State Department, Secretary Tillerson has made made it his goal to reduce our diplomatic force by as much as 50%, which has this crucial department in chaos. And I have to say, Secretary Tillerson, who was supposed to be a moderate, has really been a willing partner with the president in alienating virtually all of our allies. At the Commerce Department, our chief department for industry and trade, Secretary Wilbur Ross, is preaching the gospel of America first, which has become a code word for protectionism. And really, Bill, not since the days of the Smoot-Hawley Tariff in 1930 have we seen the traditional U.S. policies of free trade so imperiled. It is possible that a trade war is coming.
How about the domestic agencies, Terry?
Well, yeah. I mean, start with the Environmental Protection Agency, led by Scott Pruitt, who does not believe in climate change, if you can. Anyway, I do. And he's led the effort to have President Trump exit the Paris Accord. Pruitt's ultimate goal, he says, is to do away with this agency, the one started by President Nixon. So how far the Republican Party has gone. All environmental programs, whether EPA, Interior, or Agriculture, are under pressure, Bill. Now at Health and Human Services, plans are being made to eliminate all kinds of social assistance. Take, for example, the LIHEAP program, which is a badly needed small energy grants of assistance to the elderly and the poor in extreme heat and cold. They want to end that. Secretary Price also framed the health care bill, which his own president, Trump, termed as mean. And, Bill, I could go on and on, but you see my point.
I mean, do. Let's see if we can interject a call in here, Terry, if you'd be kind enough to take a call.
Sure. Happy to.
Jim is with us, Jim Kelly, our friend. Hey, Jim, you're with Terry Bracey.
Hey, Bill, thank you. Terry, I understand your frustration, but you have to understand, this isn't the way things have been for the last 100 years. All of those agencies that you cited probably don't need the people and departments that have grown up, because you and I both know so many of those jobs were nothing but make-work jobs for friends and family of other people in the Beltway. So he's doing exactly what the American people elected him to do, and that's drain the swamp. Now, there may be specific programs that you like, for instance, the energy one. But one of the great things about technology is that it's starting to allow more and more people to do for themselves instead of, you know, overburden everybody else with some, you know, government program that is tries to be a one-size-fits-all. Technology allows us to tailor to our own individual needs, and if government can get the heck out of the way of that, so much the better.
Okay.
So do I understand your frustration? Absolutely. You and every single one of your Beltway band of friends are affected, but that's why he was elected. You know,
okay.
I agree with you.
Okay, Terry, response to Jim Kelly.
Yeah, Jim, first of all, I'm not frustrated. I'm amazed. It's a very different thing. I'm giving President Trump credit for trying something incredibly bold that he apparently believes in. And I don't think they do it to be mean. I think they truly embrace this laissez-faire kind of philosophy. The second thing I will say and disagree with you on, Jim, is the idea that all these federal jobs are made up of people who, got patronage or something. You know, I helped run the Department of Transportation, and I went from Capitol Hill, where I was a staff director of a committee over there, and I had the impression you had, maybe, that maybe people in the federal government didn't work that hard. Well, let me tell you, Jim, I have never worked so hard in my life as I did in that agency, and the people under me were the hardest working people I've ever known. I can also say that because I've represented state and local governments over the years, which has been the key to my practice in Washington, and those people work incredibly hard. So I think that's a myth that needs to be exploded. And, Jim, I know you. You're a very smart guy. You ought to look more deeply into that subject.
Okay. Terry Bracey, out of time. Thank you very much. And I do appreciate Jim bringing up a point that probably a lot of people do think about. So, Terry, it was good to have that input as well. We appreciate it.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Terry Bracey. Enjoy the All-Star game tonight. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Green Things, our friends over at Green Things, Jan and Jack, do such a great job. And boy, I know they are so happy that the rains have come. Can you imagine trying to keep everything going and green during that very difficult period we had with those record temperatures? GreenThingsAZ.com, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 3384 East River Road. They've got that irrigation, drip irrigation workshop Friday afternoon, 1 to 3. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And our recommendation is to consult with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, who just happens to be with me in studio. Hello, Shelley.
Hey, Bill.
Nice to have the rain, wasn't it?
Oh, it was wonderful to have the rain. I wish it wouldn't be horizontal rain.
I know.
I like the vertical stuff.
Yeah, and the lightning, I wish it wasn't so close to the house last night, but...
What is this Hacienda the Buckman?
Oh,
thing?
I'm just goofing around. Yeah, the little bit of our little piece of heaven, as they say. You talk a lot about, and over the years we've been doing this program, you've talked a lot about allocations, the way people really should kind of allocate the way their funds are set up.
Right, and using
I've models. Called you like a financial winemaker.
There you go.
A little bit here, a little bit there.
Exactly. Yeah. And using well-understood and history-tested models based upon a person's risk tolerance and time frames, you can come up with portfolio allocations that, at least if you look backwards and backwards test them, those allocations will provide you with, if not the maximum, at least the optimum mix of risk and reward over a long period of time.
What has you have talked a lot about kind of the mix being kind of, let's start at the kind of typical mix would be 70-30.
Well, 30 you know, a typical mix for, say, a 35 or a 40-year-old with a normal risk tolerance and not going to be using the money for a while, 70-30 gets you a good mix of risk and some stability to decrease the volatility in a portfolio. But that always depends upon, number one, the individual, but also the environment and what's going on in an economy. Now, you can't really time the strategies in your portfolio because you'll always get that wrong. And it's timing or the phenomenon of chasing the curve, as we've talked about it, is probably the reason why the average portfolio in the United States over the past 20 years has earned 3% when the markets have done, you know, an average of 11 or 12%. And so if you had a 70-30 mix, you'd be in the 8% range. But we're still 5% short of that on average. And that's because people try to time the market. So timing the market is typically not a good idea. That said, you don't keep your eyes closed. Mm-hmm. What we have right now is a lot of uncertainty in the market that is alarming. We're about, and I loved your last segment, we're about to embark, or maybe in the middle of embarking, on an experiment in economics that takes us back to a period of time that was a miserable failure, namely the 20s, which resulted in a worldwide depression. We have uncertainty in the stability and the I would say longevity of the current government. Yesterday's and today's discussions and disclosures really do bring us to a point where we can't look out more than a couple of months and see where this government is going.
Well, the uncertainty is going to affect the market.
Exactly.
And so far, the market's been very resilient.
Well, the market has been very resilient. We've had eight years of steady growth that has been disappointing for those people who had higher hopes for that recovery, but nevertheless, it's been steady. And the employment has steadily gone down. The unemployment has steadily gone down. We've had, you know, between 2 and 3% in most years of GDP growth. Where we have not seen progress has been in growth of wages and growth in demand. And as a result, we have a lot of money sitting on the sidelines right now. And even if we don't renationalize through tax reform money from overseas, we're sitting there with a lot of uninvested money. And what corporations are doing, of course, is buying back their own stocks. So that doesn't produce increases in capacity. And the reason for that is corporations are not seeing increases in demand. And so this thing kind of churns around like a snowball. When it takes off in one direction, that's usually a good thing. But if corporate forecasters don't see increases in demand, regardless of the fact that they might have the raw materials to build more factories, they're not going to do it. They're going to wait until they see some movement. And for instance, last week's unemployment numbers were a lot better than the past 2 months, but they still move the curve down when you take a look at what the past 3 months have been. But buried in those numbers was about a 2.1 annualized increase in wages. Now, you know, that might be fine if you had unemployment at 7 or 8%, but when unemployment's sitting at 4.3 or 4.4%, you wonder why that kind of full employment picture isn't pushing up wages, mm-hmm. but it's not. Hmm. And that means that corporations do not have to bid up for their employees. And the reason they don't have to do it is because of low demand. When I put that all together mm-hmm. and I take a look at the fact that for the past 8 months, we have been riding this very optimistic curve of, let's call it unbridled optimism, in that certain things were going to happen in our economy, at least in the short to medium term, that would be stimulative.
Built on speculation.
Exactly. Healthcare reform would begin to
tax
bring down.
Reform.
Tax reform. Mm-hmm. Infrastructure reform.
Right.
All of those things, I think, caused some optimism and brought the market up, you know, close to 20%. Now, in the past couple of months, what we've seen is stagnation, and things haven't moved much, 100 points one way, 100 points the other way. I'm beginning to think we're at the peak.
Okay.
And so for the first time, I think, since I've been on this
right.
show,
mm-hmm.
I'm beginning to recommend for my own portfolio and for the mm-hmm. portfolios that I manage mm-hmm. that regardless of what your propensity for risk and time frames are, is that it's time to do two things. Lighten up on risk
mm-hmm.
and begin to hoard some cash mm-hmm. so that when we have downward movement, that you can then use that cash to invest on essentially when things go on sale. So I'm suggesting to my clients that it's time to really take a look at those allocations and think about getting into a higher percentage of fixed income or bond investments and a higher percentage of cash, as much as 20% cash, and then wait for opportunities to buy things on the cheap.
So you're going to park as much as 20% cash on the sidelines,
yes.
in fact.
Okay. Yes.
And up the bond level a little bit.
Right. So mm-hmm. so lightening up on risk.
Right.
So it's a combined strategy that mm-hmm. says from here until we see where this administration is going mm-hmm. and we see where Congress is going, we are essentially going to stand off at a distance and say, okay, it's been a great ride up to now.
Let's watch what happens.
Let's not
right?
get greedy. Let's mm-hmm. take some profits. Mm-hmm. Let's be careful about taxes and especially capital gains taxes,
right.
but let's do this in a sane way. I'm not suggesting to go out tomorrow and tell your advisor you want to, you know, quit equities. What I am suggesting is between now and a couple of months from now, embark on a strategy that lightens up on risk and puts more cash into the portfolio so that you are strategically positioned when we get a pullback to invest that cash stuff that's on sale.
That makes sense. Sounds like a very sound strategy from Shelley Fishman. Shelley, people who would like to reach you, and I hope they will, go to buckmastershow.com, my website, and that will link you up to you.
Through the Hacienda de Buckmaster.
Hacienda de Buckmaster.
It links me up
Hacienda
right
away. Hacienda de Buckmaster.
Yeah, right.
The Buckmaster home. Okay.
But by doing that, they can email me and I respond to that right away.
Thank you very much, Shelley. Always a pleasure.
You'll have a great week.
Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, we will meet the three Democratic candidates running in the city primary next month for the Ward 3 seat, which is now open because of the retirement of Karen Ulick. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcast and our show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. A Silver City Arts and Cultural District signature event is the Clay Festival, everything to do with pottery, and it's coming up July 22nd through the 30th. Space is limited, so you might want to register now for a workshop. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. That's a great starting point. It's only a three-hour drive over to Silver City. Beautiful time of year now that the rains have come in the Gila National Wilderness. Great places to stay, many things to do. Again, southwestnewmexico, spelled out, .org. Let's go now on the live line to one of our fine two dozen contributors. His name is Keith Rosenblum. He knows so much about Mexico and the border, and he's the former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic, former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star. I hate to put those formers there for you, Keith, because you're a lot more than former. You're a happening guy right now.
Does sound like you're reading from an obituary, but I will say this. You've said on many occasions Keith's arguments are incoherent. And today we can add to that a question of intelligibility, because I've just had a tooth extracted for the first time.
Ooh.
In Nogales, Mexico.
Wow.
And so I'll be, it's all right. I would nothing to keep me from the guy expedited the procedure in order for me to appear on air.
Yeah.
However, you may notice certain vowels and consonants not in the right place, but that's due to an hour and a half in a dental chair in Nogales, Mexico.
Was it a molar?
It was, and painful, but kind of primitive, but it had to be done, and I'm resigned to it, and I'm ready to enlighten your audience.
All right, I'm glad it all turned out well. What should we make of Mexico's surging violence headlines? We're seeing them in almost every paper in the United States. Is Mexico suddenly become this horrible place, murder capital of the world or whatever?
Having only murdered three or four people this morning before I came to the dental planet, and having been in crossfires and having that be a way of life, it does sound like some ISIS stronghold or something Syrian or something back when there was a civil war in Sudan. No, it's all bogus. And the reason I say that is because, the word, I'm not sure I've ever learned the word correctly, but it's used in this context. That's internecine. This is internecine. That is, this is no different than when the Purple Gang and there were turf wars. So if we're talking about violence in Mexico today, we're not talking about somebody randomly taking out the U-bill after work or just why not do it. But it'll simply be still a battle for control of turf, and that is because Mexico still has to provide to very hungry markets all over the world, especially in the United States. So if you ask me, I'm in Nogales, Mexico right now. This last week I've been in León, Guanajuato, I've been in Guadalajara. I've been taking buses, planes, Ubers, regular taxis. And I can tell you that there's no sensation whatsoever of peril in any of these environments. And I don't shield myself from it. I read the papers too. But it's just there's a climate of production, a climate of education, a climate of all sorts of things that show a society that's prospering. And I don't see it and I don't live it. I suppose if there was a single episode that I lived, I would, maybe I'd be traumatized, or maybe I'd say, hey, Bill. But I've never witnessed one. I'm in 35 years of traveling point to point in the country.
Well, the president, Mr. Nieto, promised a safer nation, right, when he came into office 5 years ago. But according to these newspaper reports in this country, the violence is outpacing even the darkest days of the drug war launched by his predecessor.
Well, I know, but first of all, the president doesn't have control over the arguments that take place over the drug trade. He just can't. He can... there's just no way that a governor or president or a mayor, imagine you were Mayor Rothschild and you had people in turf wars in Tucson. Is the mayor going to really be able to go out and do anything, even if he requisitioned or got people together from TPD and PCSO and all the agencies. It's impossible. Uh-huh. So they make these pledges because because you want to have, everybody wants to have a safer society. But once again, I mean, I feel like I'm banging this drum constantly, but what goes on day to day, and I know, let's say that I know I've met maybe 1,000 or 2,000 people in Mexico through the years and have had lots of contact. I've only seen a handful of cases where anyone was personally touched, and it's rare. It's never been random. It's never been because someone wasn't involved in some way. So I believe that it's a distraction for us in the U.S. I believe even the stories that are being done on it are almost a deliberate distraction. The stories I could tell you for a client who's in Phoenix and her daughter who's in New York City, I spent 4 days in León, Guanajuato, that's just north of Mexico City and to the east of Guadalajara. And we went from the Picas, which are the little family-run boot and shoe manufacturing facilities, to some of the larger companies that make 5,000 pairs of boots per week for export to China, and then everything in between. And we were in Guadalajara, where they make the heels for all of the fashion design shoes in Europe and in the United States. And what I saw, maybe I'm in my bubble, maybe I'm in an odd industrial up, I saw remarkable, the conversation I was in maybe 15 or 20 meetings, the conversation was about what's new in the Italian fashion markets and what's going to be at the Dusseldorf exhibition or expo for shoes coming up in August that all these companies are going to in Guadalajara and in Guanajuato. Come to and from Mexico, you're reminded of that we're two nations, and there's lots of time that when you're crossing goods, it's not as easy to take something from New Mexico to Arizona as it is from Sonora to Arizona or from Sinaloa to New Mexico. But whoa, this is a society that I think the real story here that I believe, not the real one, but one of the stories here that's untold, is just how prosperous the country is and just how society has gone in two generations from being top-loaded with licenciados, which is, say, people in the social sciences and law and things like that, to engineering. The number of engineering coming out of the technological schools, and we were in one interview in Guanajuato with a guy who, get this, he was a chemical engineer from the Tecnológico de Monterrey, and that's the equivalent of the Mexican MIT, and he spent 4 years at the Culver Military Institute in Indiana to do his education. The language that I used, I went along to interpret and almost had no opportunity to interpret because everybody we were dealing with was an English speaker. So anyway, go ahead. I mean, I think we need to have, in a certain way, especially Americans, we need to know about violence going on elsewhere. That's what rivets us. And this is what the 24-hour news chain or cycle does to us. But if you ask an ordinary person in Mexico, 99 and a fraction percent are going to tell you it's not the issue that everybody believes it to be. They can't believe the imagery or the stories that are being done. This isn't a case where media, I think, gets ahead of a lot of the other social issues and dynamic issues that rarely get any kind of ink.
Yeah, I mean, headlines showing that Mexico is the most dangerous country other than Syria. I mean, where they come up with some of these figures, who knows?
Ask the people who are on the Gray Line tours to San Carlos or to Copper Canyon or to Puerto Peñasco or the people that I saw, the Americans living in San Miguel de Allende or in Acapulco, which is the Guadalajara. Ask the Mexicans who are coming across the line and going to Tucson and to Flag and to Pine Top this time of year, going to Disneyland. It's just a good story. You can always go back to stories about violence, but if you eliminate those, if you eliminate the stories, boy, do you have fantastic stories about trade and initiative and prosperity and a default North American bloc, whether we cancel NAFTA or not, which I don't think we will, whether we build a wall or not. All those things are blips on a screen of 120 million people in Mexico dynamically changing a country and producing, and lots of great relationships with the United States and Canada.
All right. Keith Rosenblum, always giving us a very honest picture of the way you see it down there, and we very much appreciate that. Was there any other option than having that molar pulled? Or, I mean, I know it must have been horribly painful.
Well, this was actually, we agreed on a price in the first place, and the doc thought it would be, the dentist thought it would be a single procedure. And then after two more visits, he just said today we couldn't do it. He was apologetic. I had to get rid of him because he was apologetic. He just said it could not be done, and the calcification was so profound that there wasn't anything. But talk about, and I'm on 20 years of dental work and bringing our kids to docs in Mexico. And I can tell you that as a general rule, you don't get the same sophistication of technology. But boy, you got the medical talent and the dental talent.
Okay. Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. Thank you, Keith. We will call upon you again very soon. Thanks a lot. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
We will be back with the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Margaret Regan, longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer and well-known writer of a nonfiction work, a couple of very popular books, is next.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and distinguished professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report featuring longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan. We'll talk with Margaret in a moment, but first I want to tell you about Summer at the Fox. So much going on. They've got these classic cartoons 1 hour before the movie Sing. That's coming up this Friday. 10 a.m., July 14th. And, of course, the August schedule looks really good. Winona and The Big Noise, August 13th, presenting her Roots and Revival Tour with new music and favorite hits. Broadway star of Beatlemania, Tony Kishman, is going to perform at the Fox. And this is a Live and Let Die, a tribute to Paul McCartney. That's on August the 19th. At 7:30, and there's a new show that's now on sale, An Evening with Amy Grant, that has now been calendared for February 7th. So much going on at the Fox. The best place to go would be foxtucson.com for all of your ticket and show information. Now let's go on the live line and join Margaret Regan, who has been very busy the last couple of days. She's been traveling and, of course, promoting her very popular book, Detained and Deported. She's spoken really all over the country on the book. And Margaret, how are you this summer?
Oh, I'm good. I really enjoyed that rain last night. What a relief.
Yes, it was. Yeah, you came back from, I believe, an overseas trip.
Oh, no, this time I was just in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, yep.
Some might say it's overseas.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, you're back in town, and you brought some great rain with us.
Yeah, and, you know, it was so hot in D.C., you know, it was like 93 degrees and 100% humidity, so it was fun looking at the attractions, especially the National Gallery, which was wonderful. You know, that's our nation's own art museum with the only Leonardo da Vinci in it in the whole country.
Really?
Yeah, it's the only one. Ginevra da Vinci, it's a portrait. It's beautiful. So I really had fun being there and visiting the Library of Congress, which my brother-in-law, an architectural historian, says is the most beautiful building in America. So. Mm. That was great, but very hot there in a different way from the heat here.
A story that will be published in the Tucson Weekly this week is a review of the Tucson exhibition at the Contreras Gallery. What are they doing over there, Margaret?
Well, this is a fun show every summer. Michael Contreras, who runs that gallery with his wife, Neda, they invite people to do paintings about Tucson. And it's always fun. It's just for the month of July, kind of a fun summer show. And it's interesting always to see some people really concentrate on the historic buildings in Tucson, and then a lot of people want to go out into the desert and do beautiful paintings of, you know, the untouched landscape. So there's a little bit of attention there. It's quite fun. One of the paintings I talked about that I liked the most was by a painter named Carolyn Sotelo. And I'm sure you're familiar with downtown, the sign with the woman in the green two-piece bathing suit diving off a diving board.
Yes.
And the sign says swimming pool, and it's law offices now, but once upon a time, of course, it was a tourist hotel. And those kinds of really creative signs were just such an important part of the Tucson streetscape. So this is a really fun painting, you know, that celebrates that era of those cool signs. And that a lot of other people did historic buildings downtown. An artist named Canoose, what's her first name? Lisa Canoose. She did a lot of downtown paintings, except she sort of makes them like look all like jumping joints. You know, the Hotel Congress, it's like kind of swaying and dancing, and it's all in orange and yellow. It's kind of a real nightlife thing. But she really focuses on historic buildings, too, which you know, we're fortunate that we have as many left as we do because we did lose a lot during urban renewal. But
so they're open this summer, the Contreras Gallery, then?
Oh, yeah, all through July, but more limited hours.
Okay, and they're at 110 East 6th Street. I do want to carve out some time, Margaret, for the current issue of the Tucson Weekly. Now editor, my friend Jim Ninsel. I think Jim is doing a good job. So far.
Glad to have him on board.
I know.
The editor, executive editor, good for him.
I think it's terrific. The cover story about the 100th anniversary of the Bisbee deportation, what was that all about?
Oh, gosh.
Can you kind of, could you summarize it? Give us the bottom line.
Okay, 100 years ago, 1917, the U.S. had just entered World War II. World War One, of course. Okay. And there was a lot of union activism, both in Montana and in Arizona, and people were beginning to strike the mines because, as you know, we didn't have very good protections for workers in the mines in those days. And there was a strike going on in Bisbee, and the copper mine was seen as very important to the nation's security interests. I mean, that was the explanation given, that the sheriff of Bisbee deputized, if you want to use that word, basically crowds of vigilantes, kidnapped the striking miners from their homes, from their beds, early in the morning.
Wow.
Rounded them up, 1,196 miners, and marched them, this is in the summer, you know, marched them down to a train all prepared for them with cattle cars, lured them out of town and dropped them in the middle of the desert in New Mexico in the summer in the Southwest.
Oh, my goodness.
It was egregious, and obviously. And Phelps Dodge was the company then. They never allowed those people to return to their homes.
Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty a shocking thing, and it went all through the courts, but nobody was ever convicted of any crimes because it was, you know, found by various investigations to have been a mass kidnapping. So it's a pretty notorious episode in Arizona history.
That anniversary is tomorrow, actually,
yes,
the 100th,
right.
100th anniversary.
Right. So. And, you know, Bisbee has been really doing a great job. They have, I wrote a companion story. Tom Danahy wrote a big story about this, which is in the current Tucson Weekly. But I wrote kind of a companion story about all the activities going on. And they've been doing stuff for a month, but now we're in the big week of the celebration, or I should say the marking of the anniversary, because there's not really much to celebrate about what happened. But tomorrow there's even going to be a service, and, you know, like a religious service in a church down there. Let's see, St. John's Church. There's also going to be, you know, Bisbee's full of artists. There's going to be a whole evening full of open mic with singing and dancing and poetry. Laurie McKenna, who runs the Central School art space down there, a very interesting artist, she did a whole installation about it. She calls it the Undesirables, because that was the official name given to the deportees. The Undesirables says it all. So she's doing this whole installation and a performance piece that will be Saturday night. And then there are a lot of talks by scholars. They've brought in Dr. Catherine Benton Cohen from Georgetown. She's a really interesting young scholar who wrote like an amazing book about Cochise County in the 19th and early 20th century. And part of her book is about the Bisbee deportation and what it all meant for America's race relations. And then the U of A's Dr. Bill Beasley is going to be speaking too. He's a Mexico expert. So there's really a lot of stuff happening, and all summer long there's an interesting exhibition at the Bisbee Mining Museum.
I think these were the workers of the world. They kind of called them the Wobblies, isn't that
That's
correct?
Right.
Is
That's
that correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains, right?
But anyway, that's really kind of a horrible black mark in Arizona history, taking these
people and just dumping
them in the desert. But anyway, Margaret, we will look for your work, and we'll also look for your book, which continues to do very well, Detained and Deported. I believe you had a series of speaking engagements in June in New Mexico, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of talks around the country for it. So,
Margaret, always a pleasure. I appreciate
it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
All right. The Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with Margaret Regan. Want you to go to foxtucson.com. That's a great starting place because we just announced an evening with Amy Grant that the tickets are now on sale. That's calendared for February 7th at 7:30 in the evening. We've got some great shows in August, including Winona and the Big Noise. That's August 13th, Live and Let Die, a tribute to Paul McCartney, August 19th. We've got some great movie deals going on. Sing, that's this Friday, then Saturday. Irving Berlin's musical, There's No Business Like Show Business. Again, foxtucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shaw and Ray Allen team up for their program, Mic Check. Today, the well-known Channel 4 weatherman, Mr. Beamish, will be on the program, and certainly there's a lot to talk about as we've begun the summer thunderstorm season. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow. We've got the big, I don't want to call it a debate, but we'll have the three Democratic candidates all in one studio for Ward 3. So that's going to be fun tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.